NFL fans, there's a new way to watch your favorite teams.
Feliz Navidad.
What a day for some football, baby.
On December the 25th at 5 p.m. GMT, the Christmas games will stream live on Netflix.
And it's good!
Your Christmas day will be complete with the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens versus Houston Texans live on Netflix. You won't want to miss it.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Crappens. Don't wait a week for a new video. Join our Patreon at the Crappens On Demand level for instant recap access. Link in description. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and joyful Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Happy birthday to you, Ben Mandelker. It's your birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday, you little honey pie. A little crumpet.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I love that you get to spend your birthday in London town.
Oh, no, it's lovely. It's absolutely lovely. I mean, lovely. Look, all these people in the building next door are here for my birthday.
There's Gemma, Lolly, Petey.
Sophie and Gemma gather round. Sophie is currently at the sink and she's pouring herself some water. She's looking at it. She's turning off the faucet. She's like, that's enough. And she's walking away with a water bottle right now. God, I could sit and watch these people all day long and narrate what's happening to them. I mean, they're also looking at
Wouldn't
me.
Wouldn't be our first weird. Time.
I know. But yes, having a lovely birthday here in London. Thank you to everyone who's sent well wishes and everything. Thank you to the SoulCycle class that gave me a card today, a birthday card that said, happiest of birthdays to you. And I was like, thank you very much, SoulCycle, for a little birthday card on my bike. my first London SoulCycle.
I love that you went to SoulCycle on your birthday. It's like the opposite, I feel, of what most people do.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that. I was like, I'm going to just enjoy myself. But like, honestly, I need to do some sort of physical activity. I'm rotting in Greece right now. So
yeah,
I'm here. But you know what? Even more exciting than my birthday is the fact that our tour, the Mounting Hysteria tour, tickets have gone on sale today. The tickets are live. The sale is public. This is our first North American tour in 2 years. We did hit up Europe earlier this year, London itself, right here. But right now we're going back to North America. We are so excited. And I'm just going to do a very quick rundown of all the cities we're going to be going to. We're not going to do this on every show, but since we just announced it today, we figure in case you didn't see it on social media, keep an ear out for a city that may be near you and hopefully you can come see us. So here is where we're going. It's going to start in January. We're going to San Francisco, San Diego, New York City for the Golden Crappies. That's on February 1st. That's actually coming up pretty quickly. We're going to Salt Lake City, Denver, Cincinnati, which was where someone once got arrested at one of our shows, I'd like to point out, Minneapolis, Toronto, Charlotte, Atlanta, DC, Philadelphia, Boston, Detroit, Chicago, Austin, Dallas. That's all we have for right now. There may be some more cities that we add in. We are working with some other cities. And also, when you go to our website, watchwhatcrappens.com, that's where all the ticket links are. There are a few cities, I think it's Charlotte, Austin, and Dallas. The ticket links are not ready yet. We apologize. They just weren't ready, and we didn't want to wait any longer. We wanted to get this up and ready. So thank you for your patience. If you're waiting to buy tickets at those venues, we will let you know as soon as possible once those are live. We don't want to hold that off. So that's the news, guys.
Yeah, go get your tickets. Also, we start sold on Salt Lake City, which is a new Bravo show. We're going to be recapping that on Patreon starting this week. So be on Patreon. Also, where we do videos, where we are right now, and where we're going to start this recap right now. Okay, so Real Housewives of New York. Wow. So we missed last week. There were two of you who were very disappointed, and no one else noticed. The reason we did was just because it was holidays and we were just rushing. It was traveling and all that. So we got as many recaps as we could up. One had to suffer a death. And we, of course, chose that one because it's that one. Or this one. But it was a decent episode last week. You watched it, yes?
Yeah, it was very moving.
Oh, God, I'm asking questions like Bronwyn from Salt Lake City now. You watched it, yes?
I did,
You did something wrong to me, yes? Go ahead.
I'm going to be like Bronwyn. I'm going to purse my lips and stick my tongue in my cheek and nod my head to show my displeasure. But I did. I thought it was a very moving episode. You know, for as much shit as we give Roni, and as much as we're like, oh my God, trauma dumping, it was actually a very moving episode and very sad. So it was actually,
They're upping their traumas. And I have to say, and I know that sounds cynical as hell to say it, but it is a trauma dump show. Every week it's more fucking trauma. This week is no, you know, this week is the same, but they're really sad, heartbreaking, horrible things that are happening. So I'm not making fun of that, but yeah, it is every week. It's like, all right, whose trauma are we going to showcase this week, buddy?
So, I believe it or not, I really am trying to be positive about this show. I know everyone can't stand it right now. It's so boring. But you know, the show's not doing itself any favors because this episode, I timed it. I looked at the time. It was 10 minutes. 10 minutes of airtime of people walking into that birthday party today. It started at 12. It started like around 12 minutes, or I don't know when, you know, because it's screener time versus when it airs on YouTube or whatever. But like, I timed it and it went on 10 minutes of people walking into the party, laughing and be like, oh my God, I can't believe this look. Oh my God, that looks amazing. Oh my God, ballroom. And then another person, it went on and on and on without the story moving forward in any way, without any compelling conversations. 10 minutes. These shows are like 42 minutes long, maybe 44 minutes. So 10 minutes is basically 25% of your show, okay? You spent 25% of your show walking into a party. That is the problem with this season in a nutshell, and it will not get better until they start getting better content for us.
Yeah. So, I don't feel the need to try to be positive or to try to be negative. I just come say whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to try being positive for anything, you know? But God, good luck to you guys. So let's start it out. And I thought this was an okay episode. Actually, let's talk about the last episode too, because that was a pretty big episode. Well, first it was, oh my God, was she involved in the prank? Because Bryn went and told everybody, wait a minute, I was involved in the prank. Aaron told me about the prank. And then I said, I'm going to one up the pregnancy rumors and say that Rebecca's a slut. So I told everybody that Rebecca's getting chained or getting trained by every guy in Manhattan in the Scientology Center. Which didn't really make sense because, like, one thing is, like, she's pregnant. The next rumor is, it could be anybody's sperm because they're open and they're banging half the people in town. Like, that's a much more destructive take on it. But she went with that. And then she got everybody believing it, that Aaron somehow knew that she was going to do that. So Aaron twisted it around to make it look like Bryn is just a monster when she should have known that Bryn was joking. It was very confusing.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. And then
it's led to a lot of conversations about, were you in on the prank? But you said she knew about the prank, but I didn't know she was in on the prank. But was she in on the prank? It was so fucking annoying because it's one of these storylines that sucks anyway. And they're just like hammering it into the ground because they had to get out of it. And then the next main part of the episode was Erin's abortion story. So she told us, you know, like, look, whenever we go through something rough and traumatic, it's really important to share it when you get a cover on Glamour magazine. Which I'm sure is like when everybody does it. But she shared that. And I do think that those kind of stories are extremely important to share. And one thing that I really liked about her sharing this story was that I think when people talk about abortion rights and women's rights, and what's currently going on in this country with Roe versus Wade being repealed in places like my home state of Texas, making abortion illegal, etc. One thing that we hear in stories is like, well, here's the reason that abortion should be legal, because what if a mother's life is in danger? You know, there's a lot of times where, you can't carry a baby to term or you will die. And that is the reason for an abortion. So a lot of the stories we hear are like this, but this horrible, like, the thing could have happened, and then this really extreme thing could have happened, and then this thing could have happened, which killed the mother. And it's nice to hear stories that are just like, no, I got an abortion because it's my fucking right to have an abortion, and I wasn't ready to have a child, you know, because that is the reason a lot of women have abortions. And I think sometimes we have to make it this big dramatic thing to make it important. And I think that those reasons obviously are important, but it's obviously important because it's your fucking right. It's your fucking right to do it. And it's important to be able to talk about it in a calm way, which she did. Now, has she donated to Trump and stopped the steal and everything else? And does that make her a total hypocrite? We're talking about Aaron. But it's still important to have that conversation. And I was glad it was had on the show.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And I think actually for me, what was really important to demonstrate was like how the conversation, like she was sharing it, which I thought was actually really brave. And it shouldn't be like a brief thing, you know, but like she was talking about it. And then Jenna was like, yeah, it happened to me. And then she was very, you know, she was nervous about having to tell her dad, and because she never told her dad. And then she tells her dad and he's like, well, yeah, you know, I had a situation like that that happened in my youth as well. The point is that this is something that impacts a lot of people, and like it shouldn't be stigmatized. Like you said, it's someone's right to do what they want to do with their body. It's never been repealed. And I really appreciated the show for kind of taking a pretty big stand on it.
And now, of course, because it's Erin, she still had to bungle it in some kind of way. And for me, it was when she outed her mom's abortion. Like, that's crazy. She's like, oh, really, Dad? Because mom said she had an abortion, too. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Like, you don't get to do, you can't do that on TV to other people, especially your mother. What the fuck? But overall, you know, I think it was a pretty important thing. Do I think it was like super fun? No, but these shows they don't always have to be super fun. But I thought that was a pretty important conversation. I was glad to see it on TV. And I'm actually kind of proud of the audience for not getting as rabid as I thought, because, you know, there's people who lean very different ways all over the place who watch Housewives politically. And it didn't get as ugly as I thought it could have. So, you know, yay, bravo audience, I think.
Yeah. And then, the other part of the episode that was really sad was Erin's dad, you know, as we know, he passed away. And we saw sort of like this final scene where she was talking to her dad about the abortion. And they were talking. And you do see he's not well. And we know he has passed by the time this airs. And it was very touching, because they kind of gave him like a little bit of a send off, and she sort of eulogized her father. And it was really beautiful, actually. I thought the producers did actually an excellent job. And so, was it the most entertaining episode in terms of like Housewives stuff? Probably not, but it was actually, I think, fairly impactful. So, you know, that's a nice silver lining on a season that's been getting trashed by a lot of people, is that they did pull off, I think, actually a pretty thoughtful episode.
Okay, so this episode
starts with Sai has glass
in her foot. Yeah, Sai has glass in her foot.
It's like, I can't believe this stupid shit happened to me. Look at this x-ray. Look at this x-ray. All right, this x-ray has been sponsored by Nabisco, which is never served in glass.
So Sai's like, okay, everyone, freak accident. So I decided I was going to clean up my sample closet, which is, you know, Sai-Fora. That's what I call it, because, you know, like Sephora, it's Sai-Fora. So I was getting rid of some old products, and there was a bag of glass, and I put it in my elevator. It was falling out of the elevator, so I kicked it. I kicked that glass, and it went into my foot about all the way up to my bone. Can you believe it?
So her husband's making all these jokes with her. He's like, oh, wow. Yeah, sweatpants, huh? That's how most people go to the podiatrist, I find. What are we going to the Upper East Side? Oh, yeah. Hey, you want to put your shoes on. Is that poop on the bottom of your shoes? Is that defecation? Good Lord, woman.
Yes, I is not having a good start to this episode. She has glass embedded deep into her foot, and there is so much poop on her slide. It's like, it is wild how much poop that she has stepped in and that she didn't even notice. And she's tracked it all the way up into whatever closet she's in. And then she turns it over and she's like, significant. She's like, that's disgusting. I'm like, yes, please clean your floors now because it's been all over your house.
Yeah, she puts her nose right up in that.
Right too. Up.
Right yeah, up to
it's this poop.
It's like clearly poop. Okay, it's clear. You don't need to put it that close to your nose. She's like, is this poop?
Get it off your face. Get it off your face.
So we go from poop to stoop because now we're going to Jenna's apartment for her stoop sale. And so there's like a line around the block because, of course, everyone wants to get involved. And people are coming in to buy Jenna's stuff, including Sunny Hostin, which I thought was funny. So people are showing up and Jenna's like, well, I put up an Instagram post and it says, due to the enormous amount of interest, we have made some adjustments. The sale will take place in New York City. Yeah, there's a line around the block. I am completely blown away by it. It's like, wow, I'm so blown away. I'm whispering now.
And Carol went to this, apparently. Well, she didn't go to it, but she made someone posted her making a TikTok or something where she said,
can you believe it? I was walking up the street in New York and I said, what's this crazy line for this going around the block? And they said, it's a Real Housewives of New York. She's a badass. You go, Jenna. Wah. I would have gone in, but I have to run a marathon.
So Jenna's like, yeah, the first person I knew who did this was June Ambrose. That's JC's stylist. Yeah, let's see some footage of us together. Look at us. We're fabulous. And then she was the one who really started the game. And then Chloe Sevigny did it. So I was like, I'm going to be like the cool girls who are much fancier than me. I love Jenna pretending like other people are fancier than her. Like, Jenna, you have an enormous like townhome in Soho with all this designer stuff that Beyonce has worn. You're fancy.
So I like that we saw this conversation between her and June Ambrose because June's like, so is Cass going to go on? And she's like, no. Because this was before the Today Show that she's getting ready. She's like, so is Cass going to go on the show with you? And she's like, no. Oh, because she's shy? Well, I mean, she would be canceled. She would be canceled. So I like that she's kind of hiding Cass away because Cass has a mouth on her. I need to meet Cass now. If you're that worried about bringing your girlfriend around because she's going to be canceled, I need to meet her immediately. Okay, that's my kind of girl.
Yeah, and I think you'll be fine. I think that no one really gets canceled in general and also specifically on Bravo. So then Jenna is, yeah, so people are coming in and like, oh my God, it's Jenna Lyons. Oh my God, this is amazing. Hi. And they're all excited. And we see just people shopping. And
she's like, what? You're excited? I'm just eating lunch. Sorry, don't mind me. Just eating just casually here with my feet up, enjoying some lunch. Oh, God, please, I hate attention. Please stop.
I got takeaway from La Bernadette. It's just me. Oh, God, there's so many fancy people out here.
Stop.
So I like that. Like, there was one lady who like negotiated with Jenna, and she was like, so how much for these sunglasses? She's like, 20. She's like, 20 for J. Crew? Oh, how about 10? I'll give you 10. I was like, wow.
That hurts on so many assistant levels. Putting prices on stuff because she's like, and now Jenna. This is, she's like, J.Crew, what? I mean, it's not. Okay, 500. No, Jenna, less. A quarter. Okay, $10, Jenna. Do $10. Okay, I'm just going to pretend to eat my lunch here. Here. I'm just a normal person eating my lunch. Oh my God, Jenna Lyons!
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Lindsey Graham, host of Wondery's show American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history, presidential lies, environmental disasters, corporate fraud. In our latest series, entrepreneur Lou Pearlman becomes the mastermind behind two of the biggest pop groups in the world, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. He also oversees a sprawling business empire that includes a charter jet company, restaurants, and real estate. But Perlman's successful facade crumbles after he's sued by the boy bands for siphoning millions from them. And soon, investigators discover that Perlman is keeping his empire afloat through an even more devious scheme. Follow American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest seasons only on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing The Best Idea Yet, a brand new podcast about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with. Listen to The Best Idea Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now we go to a restaurant where Aaron meets up with Raquel, and they're being all nicey-nice. Raquel's like, oh, we're twinning! And Aaron's like, yeah, it's like perfect Memorial Day energy here. I'm like, or it was until you walked in the room and drained it all instantly.
So Raquel's like, Aaron is my girl and I'm upset about where we're at. So like, I really want to fix it. But with the group, one little thing can turn into a year of not speaking to each other. So they order some grilled halloumi, and Aaron's like, cheers to this stupid-ass annoying shit. I want it to be over. Like, I've been overwhelmed with personal stuff, so that's why that day was hard. So Raquel's like, yeah, you know, look, I came across harsh, but I've just been with Bryn the whole day, and she was really going on and on about how you had a conversation, and she was in on the prank. And I'm like, wait a minute, was she in on the prank? This is so bizarre to me. Who was in on the prank?
I mean, Raquel should not have had to have apologized for coming in too harshly at that picnic. Her tone was perfectly acceptable, and Aaron was the one who was being harsh, trying to make Raquel feel bad. That was a beating up on the new girl move by Aaron, I believe. So Aaron's like, well, we were hanging out. Okay, I'm hanging out with Bryn. And she's like, so tell me, is it true? Did she, like, really fuck other guys? And I wasn't going to, like, double down on this creepy story that I already had invented and put on national TV. So I was like, honestly, like, well, like, sleeping around. I was like, no, but I do think she's pregnant or whatever. But it was, like, casual. It wasn't, like, a deep conversation or anything. It's just how I remembered it. I don't know. But, you know, Bryn, she embellishes. Like, yes, Bryn embellishes, but you're the one who passed off this lie on TV.
Yeah, so she is saying that she told Bryn, oh, no, she didn't have sex with other guys or whatever. And then Bryn decided to, oh, that's so stupid.
Like, don't do that. Like, the thing is this, Rebecca's in on the prank. She knows it's a lie, so you don't have to, like, cover. Don't let the mark in on it. You double cross Rebecca by doing that. Like, that's just, Aaron's just such a bad pranker. It's terrible.
She's so really upsetting. Bad at it. But also, Aaron and Bryn are just liars.
Yeah,
and that's I think one of the main faults of the show is that they just both lie. So ultimately, when you're lied to enough, you just don't trust anybody. You know what? You just don't trust them at all. So it's like little girl who cried, you know, prank. It's a little girl who cried whore. And nobody believes it anymore. Like, they're just constantly going on. So Raquel's like, well, I mean, I have heard that she embellishes things, mostly from you. And I guess everybody. But she's like, listen, I'll hear you both out. And time will tell. Time will tell. And I just like that Aaron's like, yeah, I'm not getting involved anymore. This was your thing. What do you mean you're not getting involved?
No, it's your prank. Raquel's like, Aaron and I have different opinions. And okay, we could just like move past it. And, you know, we hash it out. And we heard it. We're good. It's like, oh, you gave up too easily, Raquel. Come on. You're on The Real Housewives. Not like a cocktail party.
Well, I think Raquel is showing that she's willing to get into it with the ladies. She doesn't care if it's her first season. Like, she's willing to stand up and say her piece, but the fights are so dumb. She's like, I can't. I'll just be waiting over here for you guys to come up with something good. Okay. So she's like, okay, we're good. So Aaron's like, actually, I love Raquel because, like, we didn't even have to have we were able to have an open and honest conversation. And yes, I'm quoting Kyle Richards, and it probably is triggering Ronnie even more about me. But she was able to express how she felt, but also see where I'm coming from. And that, to me, is a true friendship. I mean, right up until the time she told me that the waiter was, like, sleeping with half of the staff. I mean, sorry.
So then Raquel is like, so have you spoken to Uba? And everyone's like, oh yeah, Uba. Well, Uba's had this like thing with me since like last year about like gaslighting. We see a flashback to the reunion where Uba's like, you are gaslighter, shit stirrer, basic bitch. And Raquel's like, oh yeah, well, she came in and she started saying something about gaslighting at the picnic. And we see a flashback to the picnic where Uba was like, oh, congratulations, you're getting gaslit by Aaron now.
But I just want to point out that this is directly after the conversation where Aaron admits that she was starting shit on purpose with everybody.
Yeah.
And then she was gaslighting Raquel into believing that she never did anything. So, I mean, pretty funny. So then Aaron's like, I just don't like that. Because, like, it's not even applicable in this situation. Like, how is this gaslighting? I don't get it. So she's...
Stupid prank. Now Aaron's like, you know, Uba was calling Bryn a snake and Sai was calling Bryn Satan, and now they're all of a sudden all writing for Bryn so hard that they're gonna tear me down. Like, I'm a direct target. Like, seriously? Like, because you lied to everyone and then you tried to throw Bryn under the bus and make it seem like she was a big old gossip when she was.
But I don't believe Bryn either. I don't believe Bryn either, saying, oh, I'm going to go. I told Aaron that I'm going to go tell everybody that she's really sleeping out with half the town. I don't believe that happened either. And we see Bryn lie all the time, too. That's why I'm just like, you're both fucking liars, man.
But we saw a flashback last week. I think it was last week, whenever it was, in the fallout, where Bryn told someone at Dodgeball. Yeah, I think she told Raquel, or she told someone. She was like, hey, it's a prank. But just like, go with it. So we saw that she actually was doing it.
That she was doing the prank.
That she was like embellishing.
Right, but we didn't see that Aaron made her think that. We didn't see that Aaron knew that she was going to do that. We just saw her.
This isn't fair.
It's too much. I'm telling you. It's fucking too much. So, okay. So let's just kind of move past this because basically Raquel's like, I don't know what the fuck you idiots are talking about. I'll just have to wait and see, right? So now they start talking about her engagement party, which is this ballroom theme thing. And so this is another moment of Aaron just being completely out to lunch about any culture besides boarding school culture. So Erica's like, by the way, I'm so excited for ballroom. I just don't know what to wear. And she's like, you don't have an outfit? She goes, no, but Madonna could be fun because, you know, Madonna stole Voguing. So yeah. That's what's so funny to me. I mean, she didn't steal. She gave it credit, I guess, right, when she took Vogue. Like, she kind of credited the ballroom culture and Paris is Burning and all that stuff with Vogue. But, I mean, Madonna kind of lifted that, that like, culture.
But Madonna did not create Voguing, basically. And so
she's Aaron, an appropriator, right? Yeah, so for you being just to blessing. Be like, I'm going to dress like the appropriator of.
And I'm going to introduce everyone at the ballroom. To Mezcal. I invented that. So Aaron is like, so what are you going to dress as? And Raquel is like, oh, I'm most likely doing Grace. And Aaron's like, oh, because she doesn't know who Grace Jones is, because that's what the reference is. And so Aaron just goes, oh. And then Aaron's like, when I hear ballroom, I think of Beauty and the Beast dancing in that final scene. Is that not what we're going for? I'm like, Aaron, you're... The other thing is, like, Aaron's not, like, of a different generation that's never heard of this. Like, this is, like, it's around. It's around, okay? It's in pop culture.
Yeah, so Raquel's like, well, oh, we went to a sex shop, Mel and I, the other day, and we got me a collar with a leash. And she's like, wait, you're going to wear that? Like, Grace Kelly in a collar? I love that. She's like, no, honey. Not Grace Jones. You thought I was going to be Grace Kelly? Do you know who Grace Jones is? And she's like, oh, whoops, hold on, let me look at my phone. Oh. Yeah, of course I know who she is.
You do not.
You don't know who she is. You don't know. Oh, my God. That was Aaron trying to pretend like she knows who Grace Jones is. So now... Raquel, now it's time for the engagement party, and she's wearing the Bronwyn red fur heart This one looks, I don't know if it's real or not. This one looks more real than Brittany Bateman's version that she wore on TikTok. So I'll give it that. But it's the heart jacket.
How is that coat making it all over the place? It's everywhere now. And you know what other outfit right now is everywhere? The one that, what's her buns, Jessel is wearing in her confessional later that's got like kind of the late black lace top with a white long triangle collar. It's what Karen wore. I was calling it her Eddie Munster dress on Potomac. Kyle wore it in a confessional last year, and Katie Maloney wore it in a confessional last year. So that's another one that's ever. It's that's like that Mugler.
Yeah,
that Mugler dress, that ice skating outfit.
Yeah. So Raquel comes in. She is sort of doing Bronwyn meets Grace Jones, and then we meet her aunt Diana, who seems really nice and everything, and Mel is there, and they keep putting up little chyrons that are like ballroom chyrons, like the category. Mel's category is executive realness. So Raquel tells us about her aunt, and she says that they had a very special bond growing up, and she was like totally accepting of Mel. There was no hesitation about it. She was just like, where are you throwing the party? I'll be there. Don't, you know, yada, yada, yada. But then Raquel did text her mom, and her mom was like, I'd love to come, but I can't get away from Puerto Rico, so couldn't make it. So
yeah, she's like, I have non-homosexual obligations that I can't get away from, so sorry.
Yeah.
So then Raquel's asking her cousin Michael, she's like, did you understand what this party even is? She's like, no, that's why I don't get it. And she's like, so it's about the ballroom culture, the queer culture, and voguing. It's very big in queer culture. And they're like, oh, okay. Great. And so Uba comes in, and it's another 5-minute segment of someone walking in an outfit and everybody ooing and aahing. She's like, I am Natalia, a beautiful redhead who lives in Moscow. Natalia liked to dance. Natalia loved to get to know people. You can look, but you can't touch.
And then Jenna walks in, and she's wearing like a big blonde wig, or maybe platinum blonde or white or whatever, and like a big white dress. She's basically trying to look opposite of what she normally would wear. And she also has like a butt padding in and everything. So everyone's like, oh my God, Jenna Lyons, is that you? Oh my God.
And then Jessel comes dressed as Madonna, and she is like as they point out later, the desperately seeking Susan Madonna, which doesn't really make much sense, but she does that. Yeah. And Jenna's like, oh my God, that's so perfect. I mean, as soon as you walked in, I said Madonna. She's like, you know, it's funny. As soon as Pavitt walked in, he said hot dog. He's talking about me. No, but he ran towards a hot dog. So that was.
He said, instead of Madonna, he said, Ma Bon Mia. Get it? So then, so Jenna's explaining to them all that she has a butt pad and everything. And, she's like, everything is like, my hair is fake. My eyelashes aren't real. My boobs aren't real. My butt's not real. She's like, welcome to being a chick, Jenna. Nothing's real when you're a chick. Not even your love for your quote unquote husband. Isn't that right, Pavitt?
And, so then Mel's like, yeah, we were hoping you'd butch it up a little bit today, Jessel. She's like, I don't own anything, butch. What's that? And so Mel's like, don't you know what a soft pack is? It's like essentially a fake flaccid penis that you insert. Are you not into that? She's like, I mean, I have a fupa. Does that count?
And Mel's like, what? Fat upper pussy area. Basically Pavitt. And that, you know, that's what it is. I just have a very tight pussy. Mel's like, okay, you're not really getting the joke here, but that's fine. Talk about your fupa.
So then the camera moves to Al, Raquel's 14-year-old daughter, looking uncomfortable as hell. She's just like, eh. It was really fun. Fun party, Mom.
And then Uba has some issue with her outfit, so she has to like get out of her bra but stay in the outfit. So she's like negotiating with that, and it's wacky. And then Raquel is like, where's Pavitt? Oh, I don't know. He's putting the kids down and probably has to visit 5 different fried chicken shacks before he gets over here. So just keep an eye out for a man with grease all over his face when he walks in the door. It's probably Pavitt.
So this is literally small talk, small talk, small talk, small talk.
I'm telling you.
Small talk, small talk, small talk, small talk.
10 minutes of airtime. It's wild.
And then we hear Mel and Raquel's meeting stories. And Mel's like, well, I'm going to lock her down. She's a runaway bride. I tease her all the time. And Raquel's like, this all stems from something Chris Rock told her, honey. Go ahead and tell the Chris Rock story. And she goes, okay, we were at the, where were we again? The Chanel Met Gala party. Oh, right. Just that. Right. And Chris Rock just went on this skit about how she's like an international heartbreaker. And that was her reputation when they were hanging out at like 19. She's like that famous.
Raquel's like, thank you, Chris Rock, for creating trust issues in my relationship. So now Abe and Aaron, we just see them walking, but we only see them holding hands. And they're like from like knee down. And Abe is like, don't be annoying tonight, okay, honey? She's like, I'll try. Don't embarrass me. I'll try.
Dun, dun, dun. So then who comes in the red coat?
I don't know.
Red heart coat, Raquel. Oh, yeah, Raquel's in the coat. Yeah. So they're talking about that coat and stuff. And then it was like, so, I don't know. This is too.
Aaron walks in. So, Aaron's in drag. Abe looks sort of like a funhouse version of Dorinda. Aaron just looks, I don't know what was going on with Aaron. I feel like we have to work on our drag king stuff here. I just feel like there could have been a better way to make Aaron look butch. This is just like some strange, like Willie Loman look that she pulled together.
She somehow put more eyeliner on to be a guy and then put her hair in a bun.
And she was supposed to be Abe.
And then she was supposed to be Abe, and then Abe was supposed to be her. He looked like a Kids in the Hall. I don't know what the hell Abe was doing.
So bizarre.
It was really crazy. And also, Abe was super into it. Like, Aaron stayed into it for a minute. She's like, hey, I'm Abe. I can pinch your butt. I can flirt with you. But Abe's like, hello, I'm Aaron. Hi, everybody. I was like, whoa, Abe's really stepping out for the first time.
He is. And he's like, he said, I'm in, but I'm only in if I get full glam because I want done properly. So he is like ready to go. And he is like patting his hair and everything. And Aaron's like, hey, Aaron, why don't you look in your pocket? Do you see something in there? Oh, that's right. That's where my Bitcoin used to be. Ha ha ha. Now you know what it's like to be me.
So then, Raquel's like, so I want you to come meet my friends, telling her son. And he's like, okay, great. So he goes to meet her friends. And then Uba FaceTimes Sai, who can't come because her foot or whatever. And Jenna's like, I'm so bummed you're not here. I'm just like so upset about your foot. Really upset. Okay. And then Pavit comes.
Yeah. This is
I quit.
I'm quitting.
Let's just quit.
I'm quitting right here. I'm actually looking right now to see how many pages of the actual small talk, like what page it starts in our notes. Killeen Murphy.
So Bren comes in and she's like, oh my God, Jenna's dressed like me. Also, Jenna, is Bren not dressed up?
Yeah, they say like the category is like glitter or something like that, but Bren just looks like she's just wearing, like she's just going out.
Yeah, Bryn makes zero effort for this. I've noticed she does that with a lot of parties where she's just like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go get a spray tan in the middle. So she's like, imitation is the highest form of flattery. Especially when the person doing the imitation is Jenna. So then she's like, oh my God, you have to imitate Bryn. And then Bryn does it because Jenna puts her finger in her mouth. And Bryn's like, yeah, I'm lost and I'm horny. Who's here to help?
Does Aaron look like a lesbian? And Uba's like, wait until you see Abe. He's like the perfect basic bitch drinking from water glasses. So Abe comes in. He's like, hi, sweetie. And Bryn is like, whoa. She's like, oh, Mrs. Doubtfire. And he's like, fuck you. You're so fucking annoying. I'm Aaron.
Jess is like, oh, wow. I mean, Bryn's like, oh, wow. Abe got rid of the babe. And now he's just Abe. So then now Jenna kind of hits on Pavit and Jessel. And she kisses Jessel. And Prophet's like, whoa. And she's like, last year, Jessel propositioned me with a threesome, but I'm going to say the same thing I said. I don't think she's ready for it. So I don't think you're ready to have sex with the woman who brought Rockefeller Center to the people.
No. So after all this time, we now, 10 minutes in, Jenna's like, so, hey, why do you think Uba's not hanging out? I feel like she's like not hanging out. So like now we're finally starting to move the story forward a little bit.
Yeah, Jenna's the messy one now. Look at Jenna carrying bones.
Mm-hmm. Very, very messy. And I just want to point out, you know what, I'm not even going to point this out. I've harped on it enough, but it did take up 25% of our notes was all that small talk. I did the math. Yeah. So anyway, Jenna is being messy and she's like, oh, well, Aaron, you know, we talked on the phone and there's a lot of attacking me. Yeah, I think that's the way she's thinking about it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, she's gunning for me. And you know what? I'm not going to engage in it. Except I'm going to go around right now and tell every single person here that Uba's gunning for me. So she's like, yeah, you know, Uba's been making comments on my character and calling me a gaslighter and like a dodgeball when I said I have secrets on everyone, which is like totally no big deal. She was like, well, you don't have secrets on me, bitch. I mean, like, what the fuck?
So Raquel's like, all right, it sounds like we're having a storyline develop on this episode. So let's just like stop that for right now. And everyone want to say hi. So let's have some dancing. So now like people start, you know, it's like ballroom. You start seeing dancing. It's fun. It's really great. And then it's House of Raquel says it's House of Mulan is coming in to do all this stuff. So then just Jessel's like, when I hear House of Mulan, I think Disney movie. I'm very behind, clearly. I love that they just keep referencing Disney movies for ballroom culture.
Yeah, not like the innocent girls don't get anything except Disney movies when they talk about this.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like Jon Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
So then Jenna goes straight to Uba and is like, we're in trouble because for some reason, Aaron thinks you're coming after her. And she's like, where'd that come from? I have a fibroid. I'm figuring out my shit. Leave me alone. So this is where we see how sneaky and gaslighty and manipulative and ridiculous Aaron is. Yet another example. Uba tells us this is ridiculous because Aaron and I talk all the time. So why are you telling me that I'm coming for you when we literally talked last night? Like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. So Jenna's like, well, I said to her, she's not coming for you. Like, you literally told her she's attacking you on the phone. What are you talking about, Jenna?
Yeah. Yikes. So then it was like, why would I come? I come in the night with my man. That's where I come. And she's like, okay. Well, great. And so she's like, she needs to come to my face and say, Uba, why are you doing this to me? So she's, you know, getting worked out because Aaron just keeps fucking with her, which she does, yeah. You know. And so Uba's like, she wants something with me. So then Raquel gives a speech and she's like, we are so blessed. Mel's going to say a few words because I am so shy about this. And Chris Rock isn't here to speak for me. I know Chris Rock. Mel?
So then Mel gives a very nice speech because we all love Mel. I'm always happy to see Mel on my screen. And she's like, yeah, this is ballroom culture, which is another way of saying for the queer community, chosen family. Sometimes chosen family steps up and becomes like our real family. So she gives a nice little speech, like you know, the sort of speech you'd hear at an engagement party, and how she's so excited to be like, welcome Corey and Elle, start a new life with Corey and Elle, the daughters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Raquel is just very happy because she, you know, she says that as a mother, you just want so badly for someone who loves your children as much as you do. And you know what? She feels very lucky with Mel.
So then we go to Bryn's apartment, and she's like,
sugar, we're going to talk about mommy's book today. Are you ready? Can you read yet?
And she tells us that she has a book deal with Simon & Schuster, and she's like, it's like a self-help memoir. It's like my book agent's calling it that. So, like, now it's time to start writing. Enter the ghostwriter. It's like, knock, knock.
Hammond, the ghostwriter, comes in. I'm also wondering what self-help, like, Bryn has to offer. So this lady comes in, and she had written an article for Bryn for Glamour Magazine. So Glamour Magazine really, really getting some good publicity out of this show by interviewing all these people. So they settle in, and, you know, she's talking about, like, what she can write in the book. But then it turns out that she is going to be talking a lot in the book about her personal stuff, and what we find out is that she is the victim of a sexual assault and a Me Too moment. And it's actually very interesting because we start to see how this has really, really affected a lot of the things. We're like, why does she act like that? Why does she do that? And now we see that there's unfortunately a very, like, traumatic underpinning to a lot of her behavior.
Yeah. And so basically, she went through sexual assault, and it kind of cut her off. Like, it cut her off to relationships and love. And so she's always joking about relationships and love, but she's never in a relationship. And people are constantly asking her. And one of her biggest fears is getting into a relationship and then having to explain that to the guy, and, you know, feeling less than and
all that. It's heartbreaking. It's actually a deeply heartbreaking scene, I thought. I was like, This is it's so sad. It's sad that she has to go through that. I mean, you know, Bryn's having a terrible villain edit of a season, and everyone's hating on Bryn, but, like, you know, I don't think that even our worst villains on Bravo, you know, when you hear a story like this, your heart just has to go out to her, you know?
Yeah. And so she's talking about when she broke up with Gideon because things weren't working. She was like, I tried calling Passages, and they were like, sorry, you don't have a coke addiction. You can't come here. Also, you're not really famous yet, but... You can try again in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So she went to Bali for an Eat, Pray, Love moment. And she was like, oh my God, I should have called it Eat, Pray, Poop because I drank the water.
So she tells the story, and it's very emotional, and she's crying a lot. And she talks about how really, like, it had so many terrible effects. You know, she grew distant from her mother, or from her grandmother, in the last year of her life. And then she, you know, it's affected her relationships. It's affected really everything in her life. And we see flashbacks of her talking about it with her brother. And he is, you know, he is feeling really terrible for her and trying to help, etc. So it's a pretty intense scene that I was not expecting to land on our laps.
Yeah. And so that's that, pretty much. So then we go to Sai's townhouse for Raquel, Sai, and who else comes to this?
Uba, someone else. Didn't Uba come over? I think Uba comes over.
Okay, it's just not here in this part. So they come over. She comes over, and then this is intercut with Bryn going to City Meals on Wheels to do some charity work. So Aaron and Bryn are going to do some. Putting boxes together.
Yes. So Bryn is talking about the organization, and that basically Aaron is the only person who reached out to help her with it because she posted on Instagram about it. So then Uba comes over to Sai's apartment, and she's like, good morning, Dr. Evil is here, and I need a doctor. What a lovely morning. This is worth driving here. All the way to Brooklyn. Disgusting.
So they're talking about Sai's foot, and she's like, all right, well, the laceration's healed, but then he said not only is the glass in the bone, but it's right next to the artery. So then I find out if I slam on the gas or something, I could cut my artery and die. So that's fun, right? It's horrible. Horrible stuff.
Yes, Sai's storyline for this episode is just not great. stepped in glass. There was poop on her shoe. And then it turns out that the glass is so embedded in her foot, it could actually somehow kill her.
Like, oh my God, you also have pink eye?
I put my shoe in my eye. Why? I don't know. It was that kind of a morning.
So then they're talking about, you know, how Raquel had her party and Cy couldn't come and her mom also couldn't come. And Raquel's like, you know, I don't know. Mel was suggesting I go visit my mom. And so I was like, do it.
Do it.
She's like, really?
Do it.
So she's like, why don't we all go? So, of course, because it's this show, they're going to apparently have a group trip based around a trauma. It's like, yes. Let's travel to the trauma. Let's go to the trauma. Let's go to Puerto Rico, where the main event is Raquel's trauma.
Party! Yes. Party!
Well, to be fair, one could make an argument that the Bermuda trip on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City was
100% was. Yeah. But that show doesn't deal with trauma the same way. It's like, oh, yeah, trauma, trauma, trauma. Okay, you're a bitch.
Yeah, and I think also the family members will show up. Okay, we know the mom's going to show up for this show, unlike Monica's family. So Cy tells us that she's Puerto Rican, but New Yorkican, and so she was raised in New York, and so, you know, but like her roots are very important to her, and she goes,
family, food, music, dancing, these are all my favorite parts about being Puerto Rican.
Unlike other cultures who hate family, hate food, hate music, and also dancing. Literally. I love when people say that.
Like food,
I'm Italian. Dancing. You know what Italians love? Food.
Really? Because we're just basically boiling green beans over here, you know?
I am from Greenland. We hate food, but we love Tupperware. It's weird. But we like putting nothing in Tupperware.
We hate music.
No dancing. You know what? If we have food, we don't want it to be fresh, and we want to eat it alone. That is our culture.
So now the question is to Uba. Have you spoken to Aaron? Dun, dun, dun. And now Aaron shows up to City Meals. So Aaron is like, all right, put me to work. And so Brent's like, oh my God, we're volunteering. Look at us. We're totally the hottest ones here.
Okay.
So they're talking about how good it is to give back. And then we talk about Brynn saying that she feels really bad for Aaron because we found out that her mom has cancer. So she's going to be nice to Aaron for a couple of episodes, basically. And then they start talking about Uba. Dun, dun, dun. So now let's have a cross-cutting scene.
Yeah. So we go back to Cy's backyard where everyone's scraping poop off their shoes. And Uba's like, so we hung out. We had a good time. But here's the thing. Jenna comes to me and says, you know, Aaron, you know, that, Aaron's coming after her, thinks that you're coming after her. And then, like, 5 minutes later, Brynn was like, oh, yeah, Aaron's saying that all the time. And we see flashbacks to this and everything. And Uba's totally confused because she's not coming for Aaron at all. And so,
and by the way, Brynn is doing that. Brynn, he was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so kind to Aaron right now and really just make an effort towards this friendship. Cut to Brynn being like, oh yeah, she's been telling me for a couple of weeks. She's coming for me. She's coming for me. She's really paranoid about you.
So Raquel is like, well, during your picnic, you know, when you came back with Jenna, yeah, I said she's gaslighting because she is. And Raquel's like, yeah, but I think you used the wrong word. So she's like, I don't understand why she's coming after me. So Raquel explains that gaslighting is a manipulation where the person is doing it with an ultimate goal that they're trying to achieve. But Raquel doesn't
believe that. Well, technically, that didn't make sense anyway. It was a bunch of damn word salad. Gaslighting is when you're trying to make somebody think they're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And basically, but Raquel says, I don't think Aaron's even trying to manipulate the situation. She just chaotically lying. So she's like, with the prank, I don't see what Aaron has to gain from that. That's true. I'm not sure what she has to gain from that either. It's maybe a storyline. I'm not sure.
She doesn't see what she gains from throwing Brynn under the bus, because she and Brynn are always throwing each other under the bus. That's what they do.
Yeah.
It's nothing to gain. You're just new here. You don't understand. She gains a point. If she can make Brynn look crazy and win that fight, she wins a point against Brynn. That's it.
Yeah. So Uba's like, here's my confusion. We talk all the time. I consult her. I listen to her. So I don't understand why you're telling other people that I'm coming for you. And Raquel's like, yeah, I mean, when you're having great conversations, everything is wonderful, right? Of course, I understand. So Uba's basically like, it's just not right that she's creating this conflict and for no reason. I don't understand what she gets out of it.
So then we find that. So then it sounds like, okay, well, Erin's just being totally manipulative. She's calling Uba and being like, oh my God, Uba, you know, we're such friends. And then going and being like, I'm terrified of Uba, which is so funny because she has totally not learned her lesson from last season at all. Then we cut to Erin, but then Erin's, you know, Brynn, of course, is stirring that again. She's like, so how are you in Uba? Because whenever I say I love Erin, which I say all the time, you know me, you just know I love Erin, I love Erin. She's like, well, let me just tell you something about Erin. And Erin's like, why? What do you mean? God, fucking Brynn.
I know.
So then Brynn's like, well, Uba went through this phase where she's like, she's a snake, Brynn. She's a horrible person. And I think she thinks Erin is spoiled. Like, she's just this little bitch who has everything. Well, yeah.
We all think that.
So, we all think that. So Erin's like, well, but then after Raquel, she texted me and told me I was pathetic because I said, is she coming for me? And she's like, I don't know what's like, what's real and what's fake. And this is just pathetic. So that's kind of a thing that Uba leaves out too. It's like, we talk all the time, but then also I text her these things.
Yeah.
You know,
a giant text going in on her. So Erin's like, I mean, instead of her coming to me and saying, you know, hey, babe, heard you feel like I'm coming for you. What's going on? Is everything okay? I get a text calling me a gaslighter and pathetic and messy and blah, blah, blah. Erin always
the queen.
You went around this whole party being like, is Uba coming for me? You go to Uba.
Erin's the queen of starting something and being like, oh my God, I can't believe she reacted that way to me starting something. If you didn't like me starting something, you should have reacted in a more polite way towards me. No, you were the one who started it. You don't get to tell everybody how to react to your bullshit, lady. So then Brynn's like, it's girl math. Because nobody knows what girl math is, even girls.
Right.
Like, so then that's not what girl math is. Girl, even I have TikTok enough to know that's not what girl math is. She's like, yeah, because you sent Mimi a text and you got in my face in public. And so now she's coming for you. So we have two active volcanoes, one site and a bigger one, Mount Olympus.
And so now Uba's like, you know, her having this narrative that I'm coming for her, which is absolutely not true, but I have to tell you, it really hurt me. And Raquel's like, yeah, right, I'm sure, which is kind of what all Raquel says most of the episode. Every episode is just Raquel going, yeah, no, right, yeah, I'm
they're
sure.
Just whipping Raquel around. They're all telling her different stories, and she's like, who is telling the truth? Like, literally everybody in this group says a different story than the person before them, right? So then Brynn's like, well, why don't you just go talk to her and say the text is weird? And why are you saying that I'm going to come for you? And Erin's like, well, I want to have a conversation with her, but like, I just wish I could say to her, listen, you called me a liar. You called me a gaslighter. Like, I thought we moved past it. But I feel like if I say that, she's going to tell me I'm a piece of shit. Like, a new thing is going to come up. It's like something new that I didn't even know about. No, because all this stuff is real, Erin. It's not just stuff she's making up. Erin is a gaslighter. You see what she's doing?
Yeah. Best case scenario is Uba and I kumbaya and hug each other and love each other like we should. Worst case is that this gets dragged out and we end up in a terrible fight. I would hate for that to happen. So Brynn's like, well, guess what? I think they're like done screaming at me and I can like tell on their faces they're done. So now they want to scream at you. And she's like, yeah, it's my turn. She's like, yeah, you need my protection.
Saying, I'll protect you. You were just stoking the fire with Uba last night.
Oh, well, that's why, because she wants people to stop yelling at her. She's like, go yell at Erin instead.
Yeah, remember who the real villain is here. It's Erin.
Yeah. So back at Sai's, Raquel's like, do you think it's worth speaking to Erin about these mixed messages? And Uba's like, no, she's a basic bitch. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it because I'm not going to get anywhere.
And she's like, what do you mean you're not going to get anywhere? She's like, she's just going to tweet something. She's going to give me another story. Tweet something, meaning she's a pigeon, which is so funny. Yeah. So Sai's like,
oh my God, I get where Uma's coming from, you know, because like, even if you talk it out, she's like listening, but not understanding. You get nowhere. I just like, she believes her own lies.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for the trap then. And Sai's like, it just sucks that you can't be real with your friend. And then we go back to City Meals and Brynn's like,
and that's weird that we can't, like, talk about things because we're, like, afraid. It's like, is she in a good mood and tiptoeing around? Is she the volcano going to erupt on us? Is something going to rip my head off while we're on a girls' trip?
I mean, talk about gaslighting right there. Wow. That's Brynn talking about Uba.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. So I'm not really liking this I'm not liking this. So then Aaron's just like, yeah, it's just so hypocritical. Like, you can call me a gaslighter and a liar and all these things, but then you say, is she coming for me? Like, yeah, but that's why she's calling you a gaslighter. No, she says, but I say, is she coming for me and I'm in trouble? She's saying that because... So anyway, whatever. She's like, I love Uba, but I'm done. So Uba's like, I know what she's trying to do. She's trying to make whatever I'm saying not to be credible. And now I have to be out, like, figuring out Puerto Rico. And so I was like, well, maybe you guys can talk in Puerto Rico because, you know, trips bring everyone together. Remember last year?
It's always so adorable whenever people think that they're going to go on a trip and heal. Bravo stopped doing that a long time ago. I feel like the last time Bravo tried to do that, that was like when like Cynthia Bailey hosted some sort of like ceremony by a beach and everyone casted things into the ocean and everyone hugged afterwards. And that lasted about 30 seconds of peace after that.
Well, so, yeah. Especially on this show, their history with trips, not great.
Yeah, not great. Not great. But either way, that was the episode. So it looks like we've got the Puerto Rico trip coming up. And it does look like it's going to be a good trip. So I'm excited for that. It looks like they're going to get into some stuff. And I'm excited for whatever chaos emerges from that.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's Our Favorite Streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.